Book of Judges, chapter 5, where I want you to notice again in verse 6, which in its historical context is going to serve as an illustration of tonight's message, tonight's subject, if you will. Notice in verse 6, it says this: "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways." Now, I think most of you know that the book of Judges is basically a record of Israel's anarchy and apostasy. In fact, the theme of this book, again, most of you know this, is, quote, "every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And of course, one of the results of rebellion and anarchy in any history is the condition that's described by Deborah in her amazing song in verse 6. It is a vivid portrayal of a society under oppression. Anarchy was everywhere, so that the decent people, you see, shall we call them the regular or the normal, hardworking people, the productive citizens, they chose to hide for safety, as fear-driven isolation was the mood of the time. Now, most of you also know tonight that, if you've been a part of this church for very long, that I just love to find Old Testament stories in the Old Testament that serve as illustrations of New Testament doctrines and New Testament truths. Some of those stories, like Abraham taking his son up to Mount Moriah, Isaac, some of those are explicitly stated as Old Testament illustrations of specific New Testament doctrine. Others, of course, are just observed as by students of Scripture and so forth. Some time ago, while reading and studying in the book of 2 Timothy, I came across in the Old Testament a perfect illustration of what Paul was teaching a young man named Timothy in his second epistle. In 2 Timothy, I want you to notice what it says in verse 14 of chapter 2. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Now, let me ask you a question. Why is it? Why is it that in days of apostasy, and that's what Paul's describing to Timothy these last days, that in days of peril and anarchy, in times when evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse, why is it that in that society the highways are typically unoccupied and the byways, as it says in our text in verse 6, the byways are busy with lots and lots of people? Well, in Deborah and Barak's situation, the reason people avoided the highways, again, was basically out of fear. Fear, confusion, somewhat laziness, and division. Understand that the very reason why Deborah, who's one of my heroes of the Old Testament, why she took her role as the mother of Israel at the time, was that the men in the land were so weak and so wicked that there was no leadership. Therefore, there was no safety. That's what anarchy does. There was no guidance. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes, there was no order, so that again, the highways became dangerous. The highways were abandoned, and the byways were busy. Which brings us then to this New Testament text, in fact, several texts we're going to read tonight, because you see, beloved, in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul writes to his son in the faith. And he's writing to him, as you know, about the last days and how in the last days they would be noted for spiritual anarchy. That teachers would lie and people would heap to themselves teachers who they wanted, and every man, again, would do that which is right in their own eyes. Paul says in chapter 3, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." So he warns Timothy that perilous times shall come when men shall be covetous, disobedient, traitors, fierce, despisers of those who are good. In other words, Paul described a spiritual decline that really mirrors the social and spiritual decline in Judges chapter 5. And what really is interesting to me in comparison between Judges and 2 Timothy is something that Paul repeats at least seven times. He says it again several times, three times. He says again, "And these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers." Paul says, Timothy, watch out. Watch out for those who fight, argue, who get in battles over words that are to no profit, because all that does, he says, is subvert those who are hearing the words. In other words, now follow this. He was warning them that in these perilous times, there'd be a lot of teachers who would make great issue over technical meanings of certain words. They would subvert the hearers by engrossing them in questions that God doesn't even answer. Which is to say that in perilous times, people will avoid the highways. And they'll spend a lot of time and effort and energy on these byways. They're sort of like the Pharisees that our Lord rebuked in Matthew 23 as hypocrites, because he said they tithe on spices, but they omitted what the weightier matters of the law. What are the weightier matters of the law? Well, folks, those are the highways. Those are the main roads that are clearly delineated in the Word of God. The gnats that the Pharisees were straining on, well, those were the byways. And of course, what Jesus was teaching there is very simply is to stay. Get back and stay on the main roads. You say, but Pastor, Jesus also said these ought you to have done. Well, yeah, that's true. Byways are good as byways. That is, maybe occasional paths that you must travel on. But in fact, there is a reason why they're called the highways. If Brother Kevin wants to get our young people up to Pensacola, Florida in the month of June, he has to stay on the highways. Florida Turnpike and I-75 and I-40 to get them there. That'll work. But if you bother around with Tony Pinna and Love Street and Cherokee and so forth, he'll never, ever make it to the destination. Paul tells Timothy in the very same chapter, quote, hear this, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid." Why? Because you don't go anywhere in the byways. Once in a while, someone will text me something, and they'll say, "Pastor, it's been like 4 days, you haven't answered my question about blah, blah, blah." And this verse always comes to my mind, "Foolish," and I'm trying to avoid it, because the Bible commands me to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Our Lord stated this principle, as you recall, of first things. First, you cast the beam out of your own eye. First, you seek His kingdom. First, you cleanse the inside, and so on. In other words, essentials, not incidentals. Eternal before temporal. Established before the novel. Highways before the byways. This is what Paul stressed when he said, this one thing that I do. Wait a minute, Paul, you did lots of things. You did a whole lot of things, yes, but in comparison to the rabbit trails of money or sports or entertainment or politics or unknown theology or buildings or hobbies, Paul always stuck to the highways, this one thing I do. And this is what he's trying to teach this young preacher, Timothy, to do as well. Because in the last days, and we're in them, perilous times will come. Evil men and seducers. Do you know that? The seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving. That's what they're seducing in that text. They're using words to deceive people, deceiving and being deceived, so that they will strive, the Bible says, argue about all these byways to no profit and avoid the highways. Exactly as it was, by illustration, in the days of Shamgar and Jael. Verse 6, the highways were unoccupied and the byways were busy. Which brings us tonight, beloved, to this. Inasmuch as there are hundreds, in fact, many hundreds of byways that God's people can find themselves on, various byways, all those potential words and things that people strive about to no profit, in fact, they subvert the people, those are practically unlimited. However, the highways, which God Himself has plotted and mapped out for us right here in His Word, those are relatively few and clear compared to the byways. Remember the old AAA triptychs? How many of you have ever used those? How many, you know what I'm talking about? Right. How many of you still use them? Wow. There are some OGs in here. So those triptychs, for you young people who've never seen them, they're basically these little flip books. And you get them from AAA. My father-in-law, as Rick can tell you, my father-in-law loved those things. I mean, they were his second Bible. He loved them. So they have these page-by-page maps, and they're in little 50-mile segments. And you tell them where you're going. You call up your AAA folks and tell them where you're going, and they'll prepare these things, and then you go and pick them up. And to make it even easier, they will take a highlighter, a blue highlighter, a yellow highlighter, and they will take a highlighter and mark the roads for you on how to get to your destination. What could be simpler? Unless you're a man and you think you're Chris Columbus. And you know what men like to do. I don't know if you know about these triptychs, but on those pages, they open up, then they open up this way. So that instead of the obvious line with the highlighter, where you're supposed to go, where the experts tell you to go, you can find a shortcut. You can find a better way, and there's all kinds of little tributaries and little lines all over the page. Hundreds of them. But the highway is clearly marked. The little tributaries are all over the place. Those, I guess, are for the real men. I can tell you this much. When I counsel people who make a mess out of their lives, when I and Pastor has counseled Christians for many, many years who are in serious spiritual trouble, you know what I always find? Somewhere along the way, they got off the clearly marked highways of God in life. The simple ones. Somewhere they got off of that and they wandered and floundered around along these byways and these tributaries of men. Now, folks, if there are scores and hundreds of byways that can be distracting and deceiving to God's people, what are the highways? What are you talking about, Pastor? I mean, if fear and rebellion and division and ease keep the travelers out there on the byways, what are the highways that faith in God keeps us on? I want to talk about three. These are the big three for sure. And again, I tell you, beloved, tonight that if we as Christians would just stick to them, if you and I, as children of God, would simply stick to these three highways and travel where God has clearly marked them, which will take up all the time and energy you have as a child of God, there wouldn't be all this needless sorrow and heartache and division and trouble and deception. For example, the first highway of Scripture, you'll notice, is the highway of love for God. It's a big one. Look at verse 7, would you? The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the camp. And then I love how she closes the song in verse 31, the last verse. Look at it. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when it goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. Know this, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. In other words, it doesn't matter tonight. It doesn't matter if you know by heart and you can recite right now all of the kings of Israel during the united monarchy, the divided monarchy, and the surviving kingdom from the deportation of Israel to Judah's defeat and exile. It doesn't matter if you know that backwards and forwards, and it doesn't matter if you know that the word, the Hebrew word Malachi, is a contraction of Malachi Yah. It doesn't matter all of that if you don't love God. If your heart is not toward him, your heart. And you know what matters tomorrow? What mattered 100 years ago? What mattered when Paul wrote the epistles? What matters the day after tomorrow, the day after that, and every single day of your Christian life? What really counts, it still will be your love for God. If you do or do not, as the Bible says, love God with all your heart. In other words, folks, this is the highway. This is the main road. And always and forever, we are to stay on that road. The lawyer came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, Master, what is the greatest commandment in all of the law? And Jesus did not hesitate. He answered in Matthew 22, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. This, Jesus said, is the first and the great commandment. Sounds like a highway. And in Deborah's song, she sings, Our love for God should be as the sun when it goes forth in its might. In other words, that's when it's the brightest, when it outshines everything else. All others, eclipsing everything, powerful and evident, she sang, is to be our love for God. So, a main highway, beloved, has to do with your heart. Remember what Peter said? Peter said that when you get saved, you don't add to your faith kindness. That's not what he said. He said you don't add to your faith knowledge or self-discipline. First, he said, add to your faith virtue. First, your heart. Once you're saved, you make sure that you cultivate this right here. Look at your heart and its desire towards your God and His Son, the Lord Jesus. First and always, you travel this highway of your love for God. Verse 8 says the Israelites chose new gods. Wow, that's shocking to us. But I wonder tonight what you might love more than you love God. We have idols today. When Deborah tried to rally all of the tribes of Israel to fight for Jehovah God, you may remember that some of the tribes refused, and one of them, the tribe of Reuben, did so for a very specific reason. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt... Wait a minute, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Chapter 5, verse 16. Why shouldest thou among the shepherds, abodest thou among the sheepfolds, to hear the bleating of the flocks? He's saying, look, why are you sitting back? We're at war. You should be listening to the sounds of war, and you're back here listening to the mah. Why are you back there? It says, for the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. In other words, Reuben had divided loyalties. And because Reuben had divided loyalties, there were divisions, and divisions of Reuben caused great searchings of their heart. They didn't know what to do. It's exactly what Jesus said, that no man can serve two masters. So they and others had to do some soul searching to see what? Well, to see who they truly loved. Reuben was sandwiched between two alliances. Reuben sandwiches are delicious, but not in that regard. I think all of us, seriously, I think all of us, almost every time we come to church, every time we open our word, I think all of us on occasion need to do soul searching to make sure where our love, our heart truly lies. Lest, as Jesus told the church of Ephesus, we should lose our first love. Stick to the highways. What does it matter? What does it matter? The things that we do. These are the principles Jesus taught. What does it matter? The things that we do, cleaning the outside of the cup, or the things that we know, if we don't truly love God as our motive? That's the first highway. The second highway I want you to notice, number two, is our love for God's Word. Number one is our love for God. Number two, I'm not making these up. These are biblical and in the scriptures, is our love for the Word of God. After all, Peter said, add to your faith virtue, and then virtue. You add spiritual knowledge. Jesus said we're to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. As a matter of fact, folks, if you want a clearly marked highway in Scripture, Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this, and he should know, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Well, folks, here are his commandments. This is his word. His commandments are not grievous for a child of God. The question is, do we love it, cherish, travel upon it, as we all ought to do? Or are we busy on the internet, on TV, with all of these byways? I was reading some time ago what God said in Proverbs 7. He said in verse 2, keep my commandments and live in my laws, the apple of thine eye. The apple of the eye. It's a beautiful metaphor in the Bible. It's used four different times in Scripture, and you know what it means or refers to. It means not the eyelid or the eyebrow, not even the eye socket. Specifically, the apple of the eye is that little part right there on the eyeball where the pupil rests. So what does it mean then when he says, keep my word as the apple of thine eye? Well, I can tell you, if I were to call Brother Kevin up here and take this pen and point it right at the apple of his eye, maybe I should do it. No, I won't. And I get it really close and kind of do that. What do you think he's going to do? Well, he's going to blink. He's going to dodge. He's going to wince. He's going to push me away. He might even hurt my precious hand. You see, the great value and the careful protection of your body, naturally, your eyelids automatically closing when there's a hint of danger on the apple of your eye, makes the apple of your eye a metaphor for all that is precious and all that is valuable and worthy to be jealously protected. And so God says, keep my word as the apple of your eye. Love it that much. You hold it, you protect it, you guard it, you cherish it. And most of all, you heed what it says. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, Timothy, in the last days, people, they're not going to want to travel on the highways. They're not going to stick to what the Word of God says. They will not endure sound doctrine, he says. Sound, healthy doctrine, normal, everybody, main road doctrine. No. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He says they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? Fables. Christians. In other words, they will abandon the clearly marked way and just travel on some obscure byway. They don't love the Word of God. They use the Word of God. And God says, keep my word as the apple of thine eye. Because after all, he keeps us as the apple of his eye, the Bible says. The same God who loves us and protects us does so in large part by giving to us his word. This inspired, infallible Word of God. Look, folks, financial troubles, marital troubles, problems at work, people problems, legal problems, spiritual issues. They're all answered in this book. The question is, do we love the Bible enough to do what the book says? I once read about a young book salesman years ago assigned to work in a rural area of Iowa, and he came upon a farmer out on his porch, and the farmer was sitting in his rocking chair, just rocking away and sipping on some iced tea, and he said, sir, I have a book with me I want to sell to you. It tells you how that you can farm 10 times more better than you're doing it now. And the farmer said, son, I don't need your book. I already know how to farm 10 times better than I'm doing it now. You know something, folks? You already know. We already know what the marked highway says. We already know what the right path is. But those shortcuts, those tributaries, and those byways that seem sometimes easier, not as boring, that novel idea, that you got on a CD or on some internet thing that talks about marriage and childbearing or child rearing and making money and happiness, they're so different and exciting. Pastor Blaylock, do you listen to the quantum wealth codes? You know, that frequency that's on a loop that aligns with your DNA abundance vibrations that makes you rich by altering your genetics? Pastor, you drink the 5-day spore power mushroom water cleanse? It's all the rage. It's everywhere. It literally gives you owl-like clairvoyance. What about the quantum sleep pods and the manifestation mirrors? You don't use a manifestation mirror? Everybody who's successful is doing that, Pastor Blaylock. What about the moonlight sound therapy? People believe, and are doing this, they believe if you put a mic towards the moon and you record the sound of moonlight, and then you play it back on a loop while you're asleep at night, it will relieve your anxiety. It will boost your creativity and make you successful beyond your wildest dreams. Listen, folks, the internet is full of this stuff. We could go on. I could literally go on for hours describing one after another after another after another of these byways and tributaries, running after one shiny object after another. Chicken jockey or whatever. It's just endless. No, Paul told the Corinthians, I fear that your minds should be corrupted. From what? Who knows the rest of it? From the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, get off the chicken jockey, guys. You guys are still laughing over here. I fear. Think of that. Paul says, I fear lest your minds be corrupted. Corrupted? That sounds bad. It is bad. But it's corrupted from the simplicity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was 2,000 years ago, before the internet. But they could be corrupted from the simplicity of Jesus. He was saying, I'm afraid that you might get off the highways. The simple path, which is God's word. Oh, but Pastor, haven't you heard? The government is geoengineering rainbows by seeding them with nanoparticles and making them perfectly shaped rainbows. Pastor, you should be informed. Should I? The government can't balance the budget. I hope they do get perfectly shaped rainbows. I'm not worried in the least about stuff like that. I am reminded of a famine in Amos chapter 8. It was not a famine of bread. It was not, as the prophet says, a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. Let us stick to the main roads, beloved. If you teach a Sunday school class in this church, or you work in children's church or junior church, stick to the Bible. Don't bring in some, well, we got these really cool, unusual little, no. Stay on the main roads. Stay on the highway of the love for God and love for God's word. And then number 3 and finally, the other main road is our love for others. These are the 3. You see, beloved, what was that answer that Jesus gave to that lawyer? The first and great commandment, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second, he said, the guy didn't ask him about the second, but Jesus wanted to tell him about it because it's a highway. The second, he said, is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When God describes the New Testament church in Acts 2, he says, they continuing daily with one accord, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, their unity and their love was a main highway. They didn't get over here on some tangent, in some distraction, and leave behind this second great commandment, leave behind their love for their fellow believers. They shall know you're my disciples by your love. No, they stayed on that road. I can tell you this. Your Christianity tonight and mine is about as deep and effective and strong as how we treat the people around us. Because that's love in action. It's a main thing. When COVID came through this area and we had our young people couldn't go to Pensacola that year. And so we had, they'd been home, it'd been kind of cloistered. You got some freedom now, Governor DeSantis. So we decided to have a little youth thing for a week, and we called it Essential Christianity. And the theme verse, which Brother Kevin wrote a song for, I should make him stand up and sing it. You can do it. Are you saying yes?
No, I'm saying it's Micah 6:8.
Oh, yeah, I know it's Micah 6:8. It's Micah 6:8. And that was our theme verse. You know why? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is a highway. That sounds pretty simple. Treat others justly, show others mercy, and walk in humility with God. You know what it sounds like? Sounds like a man or a woman who works hard, pays bills, loves people, especially their family, loves God, and does what's right. Sounds like a guy in the highways to me. And you know, beloved, these are the Christians who truly change the world. 99% of you in this room right now are here because in some simple, normal, ordinary way, somebody planted a seed in your heart and simply gave you the truth. Do you know what I've never heard? I've never heard anyone say, yeah, that's Sister Mary, that's Sister Jones, she's not doing much in her life. She's not a great testimony for Jesus because all she does, all she's known for is loving God, loving God's word, and loving people. That's all, not much. She's kind of boring. I've never heard anybody say that. You live long enough and you'll say, thank God for boring Christians. Don't have to bail them out of jail. And again, Brother Cooley will say amen to this after 40 years, 50. Boring Christians are awesome from the pulpit. Don't have to bail them out of jail. Don't have to see their face in the paper in a scandal. Don't have to referee their marriage every other week. Don't have to help them file chapter 7. Don't have to visit them in detox, and so it goes. I like boring. In the days of jail, the highways were unoccupied, the byways were busy. It's so typical. It is typical of people in times when anarchy and apostasy and rebellion abounds. Question: how are you doing on the highways? Your love for God, your love for His Word, which includes His church, because God gifted the church, pastors and evangelists and teachers. Your love for His people. Let me ask you another question. What fruitless and useless temporary tangents has the devil dangled before your eyes? And you're just, ah. Because whatever it is right now, it'll be a different one next month. He'll dangle this one and then this one and this one. Anything to keep you out of this and out of here. And out of here. And you'll think you're doing something amazing. There's a documentary series on the Discovery Channel that I always enjoy watching when I can. It's really kind of edifying. It's called Over America. How many of you have ever seen it? You know what I'm talking about. Over America. All it is video drone shots of the American landscape. It's towns and cities and wilderness. And as it goes over St. Louis, it'll give history. Really early history of this, that, and the other. And I got to tell you, in almost every single one of them, no matter what town or city or wherever in this, what state, in almost all of them, they show and they talk about rivers. every town, every city, except for Dallas, interestingly, all of them are built and established around a river. You know why? Because a river is a main road. It is a great rushing channel that brings life wherever it goes, to the valley. However, when you look from above in these amazing shots, most of them are drone shots, helicopter, when you look from above, you see these beautiful, amazing rivers, but here and there are these little teeny offshoots. These tributaries, these dry gullies. Not the good ones. I'm just talking about the ones that just go so far and stop. Little unreliable, shallow fingers that hold mud and lead nowhere. People and animals sometimes get distracted by them. And they go out on them and they will find themselves, back in the old days, they would end up exhausted and dehydrated and exposed. Beloved, this book is a mighty river that tells us what the other rivers are in the plan of God. Deep, nourishing, clear rivers. And Christians who trade this for spiritual hobby horses, shiny objects du jour, always, and I do mean always, 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 find themselves thirsty and barren and bitter and ruining relationships. In conclusion, here's what God says. Titus 3:9, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law that are unprofitable and vain. Vain because you think you know something nobody else knows. You found something in some obscure that nobody else knows. Avoid it. Hebrews 2:1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Wait a minute. That sounds boring, Pastor. These are the things we've already heard, and we have to give more earnest things. Love God, love your neighbor, love the Bible. We have to give more earnest things to the things we've already heard. Yes, lest at any time we should let them slip. 1 Timothy 1:4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying. 2 Timothy 2:16, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I told you it ruins lives. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. We could go on and on and on, but beloved, could the Lord possibly be any more clear? Could he, with all of these warnings? Stay in the main road. When there's perilous times, some folks are ashamed. They're ashamed, embarrassed of the main road. They'll find some little tributary to hide in. They're ashamed of the simplicity of Christ. But not so with those who love God, who love His Word, and who love His people. You can live your entire Christian life on those three roads. And God's people said,